Welcome to Merrickville.
Aha, Sydney.
Yeah.
A couple of massive hours of radio coming your way. In these 2 hours of radio, we're going to bag out young people and then bag out old people. And that means that everybody else who's in between those two age groups, i.e. all of us listening, we're safe.
We are safe.
Lawrence, really good to have you.
It's not very nice to be here yet. Young people know nothing.
No.
They're going to cop a fair whack. And yep. Old people, what have they been up to?
Oh, they know too much. That's right. Their problem. So the young people don't know enough. Old people know too much and won't shut up. The only good people are us. If you're listening, you're good. Everybody else...
no good.
No, they're going to cop a whacking on air today. Plus, we're going to find out about Lawrence Mooney's new diet.
I'm hungry.
Let's start dishing out the whacks. Let's start giving a few people a clip over the ear. Let's start with young people, Lawrence.
Let's start with young people who have got university degrees, because we never attained those lofty heights.
No, we didn't achieve anything.
Both starved of oxygen shortly after birth.
Yeah, that's right.
And
then?
Destined for the stand-up scene and careers in radio.
And also, too, we also had another trauma in our lives.
Yeah, our father's passed away prematurely.
Yep.
Liam wouldn't know about that.
He wouldn't know
about
that.
Two lovely, healthy parents.
I've got a uni degree, too.
Oh, well. Well, wow. Listen up. Do you know how to boil an egg, Liam?
Yeah, boiled three of them this morning.
You're lucky that I've just completed codes training for radio, because otherwise I would reach across the desk and punch your face in.
Yeah, I would.
But I know not racially, to. I've just learned not to.
Yep. I'd racially vilify you and sexually harass you. But I've just learned that that's wrong.
That's right.
And you are meant to feel safe in this environment. Whitey.
Technically, Liam never feels safe in this environment.
But he's meant to come to work and feel safe and also proud of his achievements.
So you went to, what degree did you get?
I've got a commerce degree.
Isn't that just paying off for you?
Yeah.
That's the winner's degree.
Did you pop down the stock exchange and see how the other graduates are going today, Liam?
How's your footsie, mate? How's your footsie?
The extent of the use of my commerce degree is to figure out how much Merrick's coffee costs each day when I go and get it for him.
Yeah,
When do you utter the words, "I've got a commerce degree"? Is it after you've paid the bus driver, or when you sit down on the bus?
Is it after you've both climaxed, or just you've climaxed?
Oh, got a commerce degree. And are you on the bus when that happens?
Some people right now listening be wondering, how are you going to get the calls from that conversation, fellas? Don't worry. When there's a will, there is a way.
Have you got a university degree and still have to suffer the indignity of a bus ride? like Liam.
All right. Okay, so today's university students, as we know, are the most tech-savvy and academically qualified generation we've ever seen in the world. And they apparently still struggle to do the most simple things like boil an egg or change a light bulb. 30% of university students have... 60% of university students have never paid a bill on their own. They don't know how to pay a bill, and they're at university, clearly not studying commerce.
Bill paying.
Yeah,
they've got online bank accounts and know how to go and just BPay. Surely.
No, they've got no idea. No. 38% have never sewn on a button. Well, okay, well, I'll let them go on that. And a quarter of them have never washed their own clothes. They are useless. Fandangos.
Really? It's not too hard to just flip the lid on the Fisher and Paykel.
No, even I know how to put on the washing machine. I can't use the dishwasher, but I know how to use the washing machine because I don't
just
wear
put the
plates.
Dishes in with the clothes.
Well, there you go. That's how hard can it be? But it's true. Like young people, I see them. They are absolutely like some young people, not all, but most of them, all of them are useless. As
I had to intervene when Lily got to, I think it was year six or year seven, and we were going to Adelaide for the Fringe Festival. And I said, "Do you know what state Adelaide's in, Lil?" And she goes, "Is it in Queensland?" And I said, "Okay, we're going to get the map out."
Okay.
Map of Australia. And I said, "Just point to where Queensland is on the map." And she said, "I'm pretty sure." And I said, "No, you can't be pretty sure. You've got to really know this stuff."
You've
got to know
country.
Where Queensland's from.
Yeah, it's going to help.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you've got to be able to identify Queenslanders and say, "Sorry, mate, you've got to go back now."
But, like, I mean, I don't think
you're about stranger danger.
I don't think you necessarily need to hang a door or anything like that, although I can.
Hang a door? So yeah. That's a skill.
Yeah, look,
isn't that a two-man job, hanging a door?
Well, that's the trick. That's what I'm saying. It's quite tricky to do, and you should, two people make it a lot easier. But it can be done. You just use chocks, but you can get that done, right?
Chocks?
Yeah, chock
you've got
it up.
Chocks.
Chock it up, absolutely, mate. Wedge chocks. So the
chocks.
Chock them up. Chock.
Where do you keep your chocks?
In the dungeon. In the shed.
So
anyway,
when you chock the door, you chock a block.
No, I chock the block. I'm not chock a block.
Chock a block on the door.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm. Anyway, there's something about a joke being well hung in there. But anyway, move by
the Michael Hutchins story. Oh, what?
Oh,
too much, too soon, too much. Don't do that. Pull back.
Love those songs. Love all of NXS's songs.
So what are we talking
that
about?
Makes
City?
It okay.
What are we talking about?
No, I'm not, just so moving sure. on. What are we talking about? We're talking about how dumb is your kid?
Yep. How useless.
How useless are they?
Because they are. And here's a great opportunity, particularly if you've got young adults, right? Your kids are...
Hop into them.
Yeah, because my son is only 8, right? So he gets a pass, right? And he's a smart kid. He's already surpassed my intelligence. But there's certain things he does not know how to do, right? He's 8 years of age. And the other day, I let him drive the car when I was pissed. And he is terrible, Lawrence. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. We're on a freeway. I was going, mate, I could do a better job. I'm joking.
Come on, Wolfie. This isn't your first rodeo, mate. Remember the time we drove home from the Tigers game? Come on, buddy.
133353. How useless is your kid? Particularly mums. I know you never get the opportunity to bag out your kids. This is a great one. We can change your name or affect your voice, but we're not going to today. We're just going to take your name, and you can name your kids if you like, and you can
name
tell
them.
Us. How useless is your kid? What can't they do? What simple task is beyond them? Doesn't need to hang a door, but maybe it is change a light bulb. Maybe it is use a microwave. Unbelievable.
Ooh, too much. 133353, how useless is your kid?
We're taking your calls on 133353 about how useless is your kid, because today's university students, as academically qualified as they are, and tech savvy as they are, my God, they can teach us some things. You know, it's terrifying what young people can show you.
But from the smoke coming off the switchboard, there is a lot of nongs out there just stumbling through life.
Kids.
Very intelligent, but no common sense.
How do you ride a bike, Dad? You should know, Stuart. You're 17,
35, mate.
Go to your room. Actually, don't go to your room. That's probably part of the reason why you're not very good at anything. Your hands have worn down to a nub. Let's get to Shane in Ingleburn. Hello, no. Shane.
Hello, lads.
Very good indeed, mate. All right. How useless is your kid?
Well, we had a farewell drama here one day. The kettle blew up, and my daughter blew it up. She, as you do, you don't put water in it and then boil it. And it'll blows up. And then she was quite distraught because she didn't know how she was going to boil water.
So she put no water in the kettle and just thought...
She had no water in the kettle, flicked it on, blew it up, and then she was quite distraught and goes, Dad, how am I going to boil the water now?
Wow. You've got to be joking. She literally can't boil water.
No.
And what's her qualification? What level is she at in her academic life?
She's studying to be a PE teacher in university at the moment.
Ah, she'll be all right. PE teachers, there's not a lot there. It's just like, can you bounce a basketball? Yep, off you go. Get yourself a whistle.
Yeah, get a whistle.
Yes. Get a whistle.
You don't need water boiled.
That's it. Yeah. Go get yourself a tracksuit and a whistle. Pull your hair back in the ponytail. Done. You'll be all right. She's fine. That's the qualifications there for PE teacher. Not for a male PE teacher. If you're a male PE teacher, you need...
careful.
Okay, let's move on. That's what you need to do. You need...
Liam, you're just too... You're overly cautious
today. Pain-revealing shorts is what you
need. Hold on. Let's just refresh how this show started off. You two said, listed off the things that you'd learnt not to do because of the codes training. Thereby,
which, we have
but
not
you can say,
breach.
You can say pop a knacker, can't you? That's not breaching a code.
Okay.
Because that's what most male PE teachers do.
Thank
out
you.
Of their little
you can say,
shorts.
You can say I had an accident with a plum hammock. That's fine. Pete in Woi Woi, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Pushing the line as always. What's useless about your kid?
Mate, he can do most things all right, but maybe not the brightest thing going. We went through the Harbour Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
This was when he was 12. We hadn't been through there before, and somehow the subject came up about the aquarium, and he said, you know what, it'd be great if they made this out of glass because we'd be able to see all the fish and the sharks and everything. It'd be unreal, Dad.
No. I have thought that. I have thought that in the harbour tunnel and thought, why don't they make it out of Perspex?
A million times I've thought that.
Yeah.
A million times.
Well, it took me half an hour from there to Cronulla to explain it to him.
Can you explain it to me, Merrick?
Yeah, out of glass, mate, because the pressure would burst the thing and all that, but he still don't get it.
Get stronger glass, Pete.
Yeah, get those glass bricks.
Yeah, exactly. Get glass bricks. Mate, I've been in an aquarium. I mean, it's just a deeper version of that. Mm. Here's another thing, Pete. This will make you feel good about your kid. I often think that when I'm flying in a plane, I go, why do we have a floor? Why don't we just have glass on the bottom and I can look straight down?
I've never thought that. That is a brilliant idea.
Why don't they put all the luggage up in the roof, right? Everything goes up in the roof. The undercarriage there, just it's like a glass bottom boat. I got the idea from a glass bottom boat. And I thought, that way, when you're flying over Canberra, you just go, oh, hello, shit stick, and then you just keep flying.
Yeah, the whole thing should be, it should just be one long glass conical plane.
I'm so glad you guys didn't go to uni.
Mate, the glass bricks don't work. The Sheila next door's got them, I can tell you, don't work.
You are hilarious. Marie.
If you blur your eyes, it makes the picture straight.
It's magic eye. Hello, Marie in Narellan. How are you going?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Really good. Have you got a useless kid?
Yeah, all of them are. Actually, they hate phones and they hate doorbells for some reason. They're sitting right next to them and they just don't answer them or they don't even try. I think they're scared of people.
What ages are we speaking?
I'm talking about teenagers.
About, do they ever just go, hey, Mum, I'm just going to go to the shed for no reason at all. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. And they come back and they go, oh, I'm so tired. And yet I feel like I could eat some biscuits.
Exactly.
There's not much going on behind their dead eyes.
No.
It's not the doorbell that's the problem. It's the kid. And they're hearing the doorbell and going, not today.
Do I have to answer that? I mean, like Labradors, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They love a rub on the tummy. Do you want to name them? Should we name them?
No. Please.
No.
But we've identified. Dead by the end of the day. No, they're alive then. They're living up then.
Yeah, we've identified you, Marie from Narellan. Great to speak to you. Let's get to Charlie Embargo. Hello, Charlie.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Really good, mate. Have you got a useless kid?
Yeah. I've like five kids and they all do something. Yeah, they've all done something dumb. But this one, he 16 years old and a couple of months ago, he just realised that there's something else on the end of the handle for the dunny brush. He just thought it was a place to put a spare roll of toilet paper. So after he's left all his skiddies, I said, mate, why don't you scrub it? He goes, with what? I said, with this. And he just looked at it and the look on his face like, oh, wow. I said, you never knew.
So he thought it was a toilet roll holder and not just a handle for the brush.
Mate, look, you know, God love him, but I mean, you know, we basically moved to where we live now when he was just after he was born. And he was about 13 years old, and we've driven past. He goes, oh, there's a Chinese restaurant there. Like, you'd never know that the Chinese restaurant, the main drag. And it's only a little town, too.
Charlie, has your son ever turned around to you and said, Dad, why do these marshmallows have strings? Here comes the money. Sorry, I think you've forgotten the bit where you give me some money.
Because someone has to pay Merrick's salary. Here's a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Florence Mooney with me this afternoon.
I'm so hungry.
What's going
on?
I'm
so hungry.
You look famished.
I am 3 days into a juice cleanse by order of my wife, Merrick. My wife informed me on Monday, she goes, your juice cleanse starts tomorrow. It's like, what? Like, I'm an obedient guy. I just go along, you know. We're going to dinner at my parents' joint on the weekend. Okay, no worries. This is where we're going on our holidays this year. Oh, yeah, we're going on a holiday with your friends again. Yeah, no worries. We've got to get new furniture. Okay.
Yeah, but the juice cleanse, like, that was not, not only was it non-consultative, it kind of crept up on you a little bit, like, surprise!
Yeah.
Juice cleanse is not like one day, is it? You don't do it for one day and just go, well,
no,
got
I'm
that
into
nail.
The third day. And
how long does it go for? Third day of?
Third day of three.
Oh, okay.
But, right.
It's not insane.
It's not insane, but I start the day with activated charcoal, lemon and peppermint essential oil. That's a nice drink.
I'm sorry, what are you eating an incense stick or are you...
chowing down
juice?
On a burnt log. So it's all about the cleanse
not
and
a,
I was told...
Not a euphemism.
Yeah. No, that's Friday night. When we
undo all
log.
The good work you've done.
Yeah, all
what
bad.
What comes next, Lawrence? After
anyway, so let me tell you why I'm on the juice cleanse, yep, Merrick. Yep. I'm a fat bastard, but it's so my swimmers, my reproductive seed gets healthy. That's what my wife has said. She said, I want to have a baby and I want your boys.
To be right. Yep.
Because, you know, some of your swimmers are pretty much like Grant Hackett getting off a Virgin flight.
Right.
They need assistance in a wheelchair.
Yep. Some of your swimmers.
They're off tap.
Some of your swimmers are just chucking pianos around. Like, just, you know what I mean? Just go, what are you doing, mate? Swim towards the egg. The ovum's right there. Just going to wreck a piano. Mate, there's no time to wreck pianos. Yeah.
They're like Jeff Hugel at the races, just
crashing into a dunny door. Just go, what are you doing? Whoa. Get out of there, mate. You're in a cubicle. Get
Some
out.
Of them don't even want to leave home. They're just in a beanbag, chain smoking. It's like, oh, this is good down here. It's like, come on, guys.
Literally,
let's make a baby.
Literally in a beanbag. So, like, they're actually inside the beanbag. Just going nowhere. So after 3 days, all of a sudden, your swimmers
I
are back.
I feel
and
great.
Just, yeah, yeah.
I am a little bit hungry, but I have been so full of energy.
Really?
It's amazing when you miss a few meals. Like, bang, mind switched on.
What about the juices? Are you having to make these or does some, you know, somebody come
no,
to
they
your
come
house
in a box.
Of course they do.
They come in a box. They, you know, probably cost $7,000 for the box. My wife's keeping the price away from me.
Mm.
But you got eight. So you got six juices to drink during the day and then two jars of soup. One's a green one and one's a chicken broth.
Mm. One of those products is a liquid byproduct from Pete Evans. I'm not going to say what it is or how it is.
A lot of them taste like Pete Evans. They taste like...
Activated nuts.
And activated nuts, camel milk and ignorance.
And you can't vaccinate against it. That's the thing.
No.
There's
totally no vax in these. So it's
So and so after 3 days, you reckon you can go? You're ready to go. You got a baby maker there. You're ready to.
Oh no, I haven't got the energy.
And sometimes on a Thursday, around about this time, we like to do a little quiz. And when I say we like to do a little quiz, Liam likes to try to prepare a quiz that we systematically sabotage and ruin for him.
If it was a train going over the River Kwai, we would be putting explosives on the bridge.
100% blowing it up, putting it straight into the drink. Just a quick reminder, Liam is a university graduate and catches a bus to work.
Yeah.
Inconsequential to this particular conversation, but if you missed out on it earlier, then you've missed us harassing him on air.
Liam wears short pants with braces and long walk socks.
Unfortunately, they still meet his shoes because he's tiny. Sorry, just a little bit of impromptu workplace bullying.
Yeah,
let's move on.
Okay. Page 3 of the Daily Telegraph today. There was a story and an incident that's been titled Liftgate. A senior female New South Wales Labor MP has been branded a pompous crud after she grabbed a male political staffer and shoved him out of the lift. So what happened is Jodie McKay is alleged to have grabbed Mr. Sikora, Luke Sikora, who works for the Speaker's office, and she's got into the lift. She's seen him. She's grabbed him by the elbow and the shoulder and pushed him out of the lift. And apparently another Labor MP is reported to have told this guy who's been thrown out of the lift to learn the effing rules, mate.
Oh, that's good. So, that's a good put down. Learn the effing rules.
What are the rules?
So,
does Jodie need the whole lift? Because she does a little bit of lady fluff in there. She gets in there and just... What is it?
No.
Is it?
Parliamentary rules state that when votes are being held, MPs must be able to get to and from the chamber quickly and easily. Mm. And for this reason, they have exclusive use of the lifts, meaning no other people, including staff.
So they've got right away. Lifts.
They've got essentially got right away.
So Luke Sikora needs to learn the effing rules and get out of the lift.
You're a half-wit, Luke, if you thought.
I like this one too. Know your place. Oh, that's a good put down.
Well, an investigation seems to have suggested when the incident occurred, there was no vote going on. So there's some suggestion that maybe he had every right to be using the lift. But
even Luke, let it go, mate. You'll be all right. You got pushed out of a lift by Jody. She's all right. She didn't mean any harm by it. You know what? Stop complaining about it. Move on, mate. Get a Snickers bar. Move on.
This forms the basis for today's quiz. Because we're going to look at rules of parliament from around the world.
Rules of parliament?
Right. Rules of parliament.
Mate, you're talking to two people who did not... I've repeated year 11 and just completed year 12.
Oh, I'm fully expecting you guys not to know the answers.
Australian politics. So
Well, we're going to start in a different country. So,
England.
Let's start in the UK.
Westminster system.
Actually, before we start, Lawrence, as always, what is the category for buzzers today?
Parliamentarians. Your favourite parliamentarians.
All right, and Lawrence, you're going with
Bronwyn Bishop.
I'm going similar but different. Front bench.
Okay.
I'll go backbench.
Too late. You're
front bench, backbench. No, he's backbench. Backbench.
Yeah, front bench. Okay. Okay, here we go. First question. In the hierarchy of banned words in the British Parliament, which word is considered the worst word?
You can't say it on air.
Yeah, we'll be gone.
Backbench.
Okay, backbench. Careful.
Jeff Kennett.
Not any guesses? Funny. Front bench.
Front bench.
Yes.
The Queen.
No. You know, liar is considered the worst word you can say to call someone liar. A liar. Yeah.
Wow. You're a liar.
And MPs who accuse one another.
I can think of
lying.
Some other words.
Okay.
Worse
no,
ones.
Lawrence. Yes. No.
You pompous.
Yep. Okay. Question two. What is it illegal to wear in British Parliament?
Front bench.
Yes. Front bench.
Attractive teeth.
Any aggressive back bench?
Combed hair.
Front bench, hair.
It's
back bench, not women's clothing.
It's illegal to wear a suit of armour in British Parliament.
Oh, you're a liar.
What? That sounds like some sort of really old rule.
Okay, let's change countries.
Let's go. America, here we go.
Let's get across to America. Okay. Senators
You've
are
done
allowed,
some work on this, Leah.
I have. Senators are allowed a total of 50 what every year?
Front bench.
Yes, front bench.
Illegitimate children.
Any guesses the back bench?
I'll say back bench, flights.
Front bench.
Yes.
Days off.
Picture frames.
What?
They're given an allocation of 50 picture frames every year, which includes a maximum of 20 gold picture frames.
Well, and then they give it away to people with the picture themselves, and is that the deal?
I've got no idea what they do with it afterwards. But every year they get 50 picture frames.
I wonder they're just on the brink of war with North Korea. North Korea loves picture frames.
You're not happy with that question, Lawrence?
No.
Okay, well, I'll give you another one.
Okay.
Name one of the four acceptable categories of music that American senators are allowed to select from for their on-hold music.
Backbench.
Yes.
Reggae.
Front bench.
Yes.
Trip-hop.
Trance.
I'll just keep going to you.
Ragamuffin.
Strip of music.
Death metal. Speed metal.
Classical.
Oh, sorry. Wait. Classical. Yeah, well done.
No, you lose a point. Now,
yeah.
Buzz me.
Yeah, classical, environmental, patriotic, or country.
Ooh.
Country's acceptable.
What about whale song?
That would have counted. Environmental. All right. Let's shift to more local stuff.
What country is that? Is that Fiji?
New Zealand.
Is that Fiji?
Okay. At the opening of Parliament,
yep.
What is the job of the usher of the black
front
knob?
Bench to drag in the speaker?
Hold on.
Sorry.
Say the question again, please, Lamb.
At the opening of Parliament, what is the job of the usher of the black rod?
Backbench. Just to thump the black rod.
Just
on the door.
Just to guide the front rod? Do they just the black rod, they're just going to guide the black rod just
into Parliament.
Right into Parliament.
To just gently
right
finger
in
the black
okay,
rod into
you've
Parliament.
We got one more question.
Hold on. What is the job?
To announce the arrival of the Governor General and escort them into the Senate chamber.
That's all right.
Okay.
So whose rod is it?
Okay. Last one. Can you guys guess where we're going based on the music?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. To Germany. No, to Holland.
Correct. We are going to Holland.
That's terrific.
Okay. So we better put
this
on
is the last
reaction.
Question because, as usual.
You don't want to be culturally disrespected.
Before we do the last question, Liam, what time's your bus expected? Does the bus driver, does your mum make the bus driver sit you up at the front just in case you get a little bit sick?
I do have some questions here about the French Parliament if we wanted to go into those.
I just want to do the Dutch Parliament.
Okay, let's get to the tulips.
Okay, this is
Do you know the worst thing about the Dutch Parliament? When you go into the kitchen, you've got to heat up your pie in a Dutch oven. Sometimes it takes hours. Depending on how many men are under the doona.
Okay.
They don't have a black rod. They bring they've got the rada. They bring in a rada.
That's when you open the parliament. We've got the Dutch rada.
Okay.
And sometimes it takes hours to get in there.
Okay. The Prime Minister, the President of the Netherlands, I'm not sure if he's the Prime Minister or the President. The bloke who's in charge of the Netherlands, whose name happens to be Mark Rutte.
Yeah, Rutte.
Oh, Rutte.
Yeah.
Rutte pants, we call him. The Rutte. I say, hey, Mark, you are a Rutte.
Yeah. He has a side hustle. He has a second job. What is it?
He plants tulips. He's got a tulip.
Smokes hashish. Works in the deadlight district.
He's a prostitute.
Fixes windmills. Carves clogs. Rides a bike.
I don't do that. She puts his finger in the dike.
Works at the Anne Frank Museum.
He's a pushback mechanic.
He's a teacher.
Oh. He's a teacher.
He spends one morning a week teaching Dutch and civics at secondary schools.
We went through all the possible jobs in Holland and we left our teacher.
Every occupation.
That's unbelievable.
He's a pilot.
Goodbye, Lawrence.
Bye-bye now.
Shalom.
Yesterday we learnt that if you use the West Connects, including the M4 East Tunnel, from 2019 every weekday until 2060, you'll contribute more to the toll companies than your own superannuation. Now, as we all know, I like to go off my nut a little bit about tolls and people in Western Sydney being penalised by major corporations. Well, if you think I'm a nutter for it, my next guest, Bob Jarvis, formerly a resident of Campbelltown, has not paid a toll since 2011, and he has kicked off a national campaign to scrap tolls on the basis of a legal loophole. It's gained so much momentum and now has the backing of Senator David Lanholm, and he joins me on the line now. G'day, Bob. How are you?
G'day, man. How are you, mate?
Mate, like you, pretty bloody annoyed with tolls.
Yeah, we're very annoyed with tolls, particularly seeing that they shouldn't be allowed to charge them.
Okay, well, give us the oil on this, Bob. Why should Australians not be paying tolls?
Well, because the Australian Constitution states that once a tax is placed on anything by the federal government, no other tax can be charged by any other government, state, local councils or otherwise, even if that tax is removed by the federal government. Now, back in 1979, during the truck blockade on Razorback Mountain between Camden and Picton, and I remember it pretty well because I had trucks involved in it, they took off the road tax and changed it to a fuel excise. Now, if you ring the Australian Taxation Department, they'll tell you that the fuel excise is a tax to pay for roads,
yes,
bridges and tunnels.
Yep, absolutely.
And the maintenance thereof.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, Bob, we're all of the understanding that there's a fuel excise that we pay on our petrol at the pumps, which is to go towards the maintenance and construction of roads. So, therefore, if we are paying tolls, essentially we're being double-dipped.
We're definitely being double-dipped. They actually charge you 34 cents in the litre. So plus GST plus a world clarity tax on top of that. So they're definitely double dipping, you know, for sure.
Yep. Well, listen, Bob, you're starting a class action, a proper legal class action, aren't you, where you are going to petition, I presume, is it the federal government or state governments to ensure that these tolls are removed?
Well, I'm going to try. I'm a pensioner, mate. I haven't got any money, but I'm setting up a website.
So you're starting a class action. You've got the support of a senator.
I haven't actually spoken to that senator yet. I'd love for him to ring me.
Senator David Lanholm. So he apparently is backing you in on this, Bob, and he says that, you know, he sees your point that we're being double-dipped on tolls.
Yeah, well, we're not only double-dipped on that, we're double-dipped in the state's 5115 says the only way a government can coin money is in gold and silver. So, I mean, you can't even pay your toll in gold and silver. And another thing, too, is if you're paying for a commodity or a service or anything at all, you've got to pay for it. Like if you was going into a bread shop or something, you've either got to pay for it when you walk in the door during the transaction or at the end of this transaction. So the only place they can charge you a toll is when you get onto the toll road, while you're on the toll road, or when you get off the toll road.
Oh.
There's no way in the world they can send you
a bill
to a private place or a private company to pay that toll.
So I think maybe it seems as though nobody actually has the obligation to pay tolls, Bob.
Well, nobody has, no. The whole thing's an absolute, in my opinion, a fraud.
It's a bloody rip-off is what it is, Bob. I'll tell you that right now. Listen, Bob, it's great to see that you're out there campaigning. Obviously, to start a class action, you need at least 7 people. So count me in, Bob. That's you and me. And we'll get some more lunatics and we'll get on the front foot.
Okay, mate, but I'll tell you what, if you could get that senator bloke to give me a ring, I'd really, really appreciate mate, it. Or either that text message me his contact details.
Mate, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get you his home address. You can get around there. You can knock on his door and have a chat to him, whatever you like. Bob, you are an absolute legend. Sticking it to the big companies. I love the attitude.
Yeah, no worries, mate. Not a problem.
Good on you, Bob. What a great bloke. And I want to take some calls now. I've got some grand final tickets to give away, too.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's time to give those away for the NRL Grand Final, of course. Pensioner gripes. Is there somebody in your family that, like an old person, earlier in the show, Lawrence Mooney and I were hanging it on young people, but here's an opportunity to attack the other end of the scale. People, let's punch up this time. Old people who've got a gripe. Just very, very quickly. My grandfather, he lived in Broken Hill, was a miner, and he didn't have a lot of money. And for some reason, he got it in his head that he didn't want to pay the major newspapers any money, right? Because he figured that the Fairfax families and the Murdoch families had enough money.
That's probably fair enough, mind you.
And he said, I'm not bloody giving them my money.
Yeah.
I'm not bloody giving them my bloody money. Bloody work hard, bloody, bloody. Yeah, well, all right. Well, you could have got a better job, Pop.
Did your grandfather have Tourette's?
Oh, mate. He was a miner. What do you reckon? So anyway, this is what my grandfather used to do. He would drive every single day down to the public library where he would read all of the newspapers back, front to back, both Fairfax.
Just so he didn't have to buy one.
Yeah. And then he would get into his car, into his crap box old Datsun, and drive home and be a crazy pensioner. Just get the paper pop. Seriously.
How much would the paper have cost back then?
Probably a dollar or less.
Less than the fuel less it was taking dollar. Him to get to the library and back.
Who cares? You've got to go to an old place. Like a library? Who wants to go to a library? People who learn. I don't want to go to a library. You learn stuff there. 133-53. Tell us about somebody in your family or extended family, one of those crazy old crackpot pensioners and their gripe. What is their bee in their bonnet? Here comes the money. Sorry, I think you've forgotten the bit where you give me some money.
Because someone has to pay Merrick's salary. Here's a word from our sponsor.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. The Howie Games deals with the great times, but also discusses the tough times. And in the hope of helping others, AFL star Brendan Favola opened up about his gambling problem.
I started with this book, you had $2,000, start of the day, and by the end of the day, I'd won $360,000.
You're freaking kidding me.
So I won 300. I was on fire. I couldn't miss. And I was hitting about 2 in the morning. We were betting at Hong Kong.
On horses?
And I'd had a few, on horses, yeah. I'd had a few drinks.
So $2,000 into 365
360, I think it was 365 or $8,000 I won. And then...
Yeah, but hang on, because
I told Alex.
Oh, go on.
That I've won all this money. So we tried to get it out the next day with a bookie, but you're not allowed to get it out to the Monday. And this was obviously a Thursday now. So I had to wait till Monday. And, you know, when you're a gambler, you want to bet it. So by Sunday, I was 20 down. I'd lost it all. And 20 down. Then Alex left. So that's it. I'm out.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Well, it's going to be glorious, the 2017 NRL Telstra Premiership. A grand final Sunday, 1st of October, ANZ Stadium, Sydney. Don't miss out. Get your tickets today from nrl.com/tickets. Unless, of course, you happen to be on the phone and potentially the person is going to walk away with a pair of them. Because taking your calls on old people's gripes earlier in the show, we attacked young people for being useless. Now we're attacking old people for just bagging on about just stuff that... just weird stuff. It's, oh, I'm complaining about the tolls. Oh, I'm complaining about how I don't want to pay for newspapers. Oh, I'm complaining about how you get cancer when you're old. It's always something.
Because it's like, you know the phrase, pick your battles. Yeah. It's like once you get to a certain age, old people just go, yeah, that is my battle.
Oh, man.
Just that one. That specific one. That thing is my battle.
You know what it's going to be with me? My prostate. I'm just going to be at war with it all the time. Bins. All my bins. Oh, I am. I've already
Yours is going to be your bins.
Oh, my
Absolutely.
God. It is, isn't it?
You're going to be calling up council daily, complaining about people putting rubbish in your bins.
Yeah, council operators going, remember that guy who used to think he was famous? Oh, is he on the phone again about the bins? Yes, you take the call. Hi, Derek. It's Merrick! Nick in Penrith. Hello, mate.
How you doing, mate?
Very good indeed. Oh, thank you very much. Great to have you on, champ. Now, you've got a pensioner with a gripe. What's their grudge?
Yeah, my grandfather, I mean, he's one of the smartest blokes I know, but when it comes to basic stuff, he's a bit of an idiot. First of all, the tomato sauce bottle, I went to go look at it, and it's about 5 years out of date.
Yeah, always.
And then I went to go use it, and he didn't know how to figure out, he couldn't figure out how to take to work the screw top, so he just cut the top off.
I just cut the top off? Cut the flat, yeah. You cut the flat top right off? Yeah. That's it? Thank you, Nick. Got that? Cut it off. Cut the sauce, just cut the flat top right off, is what he did. Flat top. Got Jason in San Susie. Hello, mate.
How are you, Merrick?
Very good indeed, champ. All right. What pensioner gripe have you got? Is it your grandfather or grandmother?
No, it's actually my mum. She's just turned 80. Oh. For about 20 years, she's had this gripe that there's no clocks in public, you know, to tell the time when you're out in public.
Oh.
And, when she would get off, and she got a mobile phone, but she can't use it, can't remember where it is, can't remember to charge it, can't answer it, all of that shit. And she doesn't grasp that it's got a phone on, you know, a clock on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the old Spencer Street station in Melbourne, before it became Southern Cross, used to have a clock. Well, when they did the revamp, they spent millions, but no clock. So she busted their balls for over 10 years until they put a clock. Now, up at the top corner, on a big pole, is about a 3 metre across clock, just to shut my mum up. And
that
all
is
the other
outstanding.
Old
What's outstanding about this, Jason, is your mum lives in Sydney.
So. No, she doesn't. She's in Melbourne. No, but the worst bit is, because she got a win, she doesn't get that they built the friggin' clock to shut her and the other old natters up. So now, everywhere she goes, if there's not a clock that she can see the time, she's up them, and it don't matter whether it's McDonald's, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's on a bus, on a train, she wants a clock. And she doesn't want a digital one, she wants one with hands, so she can set
Roman numerals, Roman numerals, the proper numbers, get the Roman numerals there. Unreal, Jason, love it. Stay on the line, mate, you're still in the running there for some tickets to the NRL Grand Final. Got another Jason in Campbelltown, hello Jason.
How you going, bud?
Very good, mate. Pensioner gripes are doing old people now, giving them a hard time.
Oh, it was my grandfather before he passed away. Right. Every time we're driving somewhere and there was a bad driver, like be it in an accident, his first thing that he'd come and go, I bet you was an Asian driver.
What?
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is I married an Asian girl who's a better driver than anybody else I know. He wouldn't jump in the car with her.
Jason, a 100% a better driver than him.
Better driver than me. I've had 3 accidents. She's had none.
Listen, mate, who do you support in the league?
Mate, I'm with you. I'm a Tigers supporter through and through, bro.
Oh, wow.
Very clever, Jason. Yeah. That's a nice bit of work there, mate.
My dad was the bar manager at West Leagues at Campbelltown back in the 80s and early 90s. So I'm through and through, Magpies.
Mate, listen.
So do you want us to wait for the Tigers to get in the grand final before we give you some tickets?
Oh, mate. Next year, mate. Next year.
Next year, possibly the year after, or maybe the year after that. I reckon there's a good 7 or 8 year window that has just opened up for us at Tigerland. We'll wait and see. Jase, I'm going to give you 2 tickets to go to the NRL Grand Final, mate.
Oh, bless you, Merrick. Bless you. You're a saint.
Have a great day, mate. Good on you. Thanks to everyone who called through. Great to welcome back to the studios after some time away, Sam Simmons. Good to see you,
thanks,
mate.
Thanks for having me. Hey, Merrickville.
Yeah.
What's Merrickville?
I just
picked that up.
Yeah, it's a fictional.
Merrickville.
Fictional. Well, not fictional.
Because it was your own country last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it went from Merrick in Australia and been downsized to
we
Merrickville.
We seceded.
And then next year it's Merrick's Tip, and it's just a garbage dump.
Hey, is that place still like in Western Australia? That guy that seceded and he's got his own little country.
Yeah, yeah,
in
he's tried
Australia?
To. Yeah, he's tried. He's the nutter who. He's
got a river. It's something river.
Yeah.
He has his own like little area.
Liam's Googling it.
But isn't Western Australia trying to secede as well? Like,
well,
West Australia.
Yeah, West Australia has tried to...
The Principality of Hutt River.
Hutt River. Mm. I knew it was a river.
Yeah.
How many people live there?
It's him and his wife.
That's it. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
But apparently there's in the town there's an incredible sex problem.
Oh.
Yeah, there's constantly... Apparently the entire population just doing it with each other all the time. It's just like key
very
parties.
Incestuous.
It's key parties all the time.
Yeah,
there's,
right.
There's only one set of keys.
It's a very bloody internal Tasmania going on there, isn't it?
Tiny.
Yeah,
tiny.
Right.
That's why you don't start your own principality.
River.
Yeah, so that's that guy.
So
there.
It's Merrickville now.
Yeah, Merrickville.
Right.
At the moment. We'll just see. Who knows?
A couple more weeks.
A couple more weeks.
I just remember it was Merrick in Australia. And it was like, now you're Merrickville.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. Are you the mayor?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely right. I am. I do little sketches and stuff like that where I write like fictitious kind of staff meetings with council meetings. And I'm like the mayor in it and I play a real dummy, which is a stretch. And I have to do that. As part of my obligations as being mayor of Merrickville.
And what's your bin problem? Have you got bin problems?
Always got bin problems and ibis problems. Ibis are always a problem.
Oh, they're those big birds.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
A bad seagull.
Yeah. They look like, have you ever noticed, you know, they've got like a black face and a long beak and they look a little bit like an ISIS member at times. Like yeah, they do.
Radical birds. It's not an actual thing.
It is.
They're not thinking that stuff.
They are.
No, they're not.
Why are they in the bins all the time planting bombs?
Oh, come on.
That's
I
not
I can't
what
defame
around
an
here.
Animal, Liam. A bird, it's okay.
Yeah, but you're saying it's a stereotype of like what a shifty-eyed person of like a religion would put in a bin.
I didn't bring up religion.
You're talking about bird bin religion.
No, I brought up ISIS.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
No.
Hang on a minute. What are they called again?
I don't know what I'm doing. I've never known what I'm doing. Yeah.
Ibis, ISIS. That's what's going on there.
I didn't name them that. Is that a coincidence? It's not mine. I didn't bring that into it.
Yeah.
I never made that up.
I saw one land on a lady's head. Like from a great height. Just came straight down and just landed on it. I think it was mid-death.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's a bad thing to have happen.
Did she get scratches? Was she injured? Because they've got claw-like
hands. No, I cracked
her
right in the head. It wasn't good.
No. Did you go to her assistance or did you let her just...
Go to her sister's.
No, her assistance.
Oh, right. No.
Or did you just let the bird
she was alone.
Cut her head off?
No, I just saw it happen. It was from across the road. She was fine. I'm a gentleman.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I didn't
did you say anything to her?
No, I've been to people's assistance when things go wrong. I once did that during an ibis attack, actually.
Where?
And this was down at Circular Quay, and there was a little guy who wasn't quite right in the head, and he was going up...
Liam, his name is Liam. You've met him?
No, he's a nice little fella, but he wasn't a nice little fella. He was just very interested, because it was a nice sunny day down at Circular Quay, you know, that little grassed area.
Yeah, and at the front of the museum.
And what he was doing, like, girls were, like, just laying on their tummies reading books, and he was going up behind them and lifting their skirts up.
Oh,
and a guy went to, like, went to bash him. I know, but he wasn't quite right in the head, so I stopped him there.
Oh, sorry, we're talking about the kid.
What?
Are you talking about who, the kid was doing this or the ibis?
No. The ibis was...
The ibis was lifting up girls' skirts.
No, it was a guy. It was a little fella.
Cool.
I stopped someone bashing him because he wasn't quite right. Anyway, the ibis comes into it later because I distracted the guy who was going to bash him up by looking at an ibis. Anyway, it's a long way around this story. But
it's a great story, though.
Bins and
ibises. I went back onto ibis and then I was about to say, I think that's kind of funny.
But then when you go back
and I remember it was the little guy who was not quite right, then that's a terrible story.
We'll fix it in the edit. It's not that we're live. It's okay. We'll fix it later.
What do you mean? There's no defamation. No one knows who. I mean, when
it's a bird.
If anything,
it's
we're defamating. Yeah, exactly. Ibises.
I've just done like hours of codes training, like ethics and codes training. It's like a thing you have to do in radio.
There's no problem with what we just did.
No, we're fine. We're fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I worked at the ABC for years. I know heaps of stuff not to say.
Do they have to do that there
as
well?
Yeah, but you just can't say brands like Nutella.
Yeah,
I love Nutella.
Man,
so I can say that heaps here.
I'm in remember when I was at the ABC? Yeah, you could say anything you like. You could say Ferrari, Porsche. You get none of it for free. None of that for free. I have been trying.
It's just about how you say the product. You don't say stuff like, oh, I have a nice cup of Windex. That's the stuff.
No,
it's when you put the stuff into a bad situation.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? That you don't do it with that.
No, you can't be obvious about it. You can't say, like, categorically, isn't Young & Henry's a fantastic beer and so refreshing to drink on
it
a
It is, and so
boat.
Easy to drink isn't as well.
It? It's
just like the
beer.
First sip just goes down like treacle.
Yeah, now...
You know when you're drinking treacle and how pleasant that is?
Is that from a tree? Is treacle from
Treacle's
a tree?
Treacle's like honey.
Is it?
Yeah, it's similar to... It's a sap. It's basically you're drinking sap.
Well, sap's not a honey.
Well, it's not a honey, is it? No, it's sap. Like
no,
maple.
It's a sap.
So it's like maple.
Maple syrup.
Yeah, isn't that
That's
right?
That's treacle.
Treacle is like that.
What's golden syrup then?
Golden syrup is also a sap.
No, it's not. It's burnt sugar.
Nah.
I think it's burnt sugar.
No, nah, you're just making that up.
No, I'm not making that.
Liam, Google.
What am I
Googling
this time?
What's golden syrup?
Okay.
What's golden syrup?
Google syrup.
Yeah, don't Google
syrup right
no,
now.
No, if he does, something dirty will come up. You know what it's like. You do syrup and all of a sudden it's just like
golden syrup.
That's you. That's
golden
you.
Syrup
that's
or very... light treacle.
Yeah.
It's a thick amber-coloured form of inverted sugar syrup.
Comes from where?
Made in the process of retiring sugar cane.
Retiring sugar cane?
Retiring sugar cane?
Refining sugar cane.
Oh,
refining. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Oh,
so it is that. You are
it's
right.
It's sugar.
Well, congratulations to you and good luck in Merrickville.
So
things are going great for you, aren't they?
We have managed to not cover a single topic. We will be back with more of something like this in a minute.
Just another day in Merrickville.
Excuse me, could you please tell me where the Merrickville Council office is?
Oh, yeah, it's just over there in the flat above the fish and chip shop.
Merrickville.
104.9 Triple M.
So you did like little skits and stuff?
Were they both you?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, right.
Either.
I thought because you're the only person who would live in Merrickville, you're only talking to yourself.
No, there's a whole community there.
In your mind?
Yeah.
Well, in your head?
In the production suite, there's a whole community there. It can be as big or as small as we like. It's expansive.
The listeners are all citizens of Merrickville.
Yeah.
Oh,
everyone
I
listens.
Understand what's going on.
It's a community, mate. It's like Twitter, but we don't
community?
Hate. Oh, we do. We hate tolls.
But who was in the fish and chip shop then?
That was Greg.
But then who was talking? That was you talking first. Who were you pretending to be?
I was Glenn.
Hang on a minute, but isn't this Merrickville?
Yeah.
See, I'm getting lost in this. Is like Inception.
Well, that's it. It's exactly right.
I'm lost inside here.
I'm joined by Sam Simmons this afternoon. And Sam is part of the Giant Dwarf Ada K. You're doing the Ada K show.
No,
oh, you're doing a show at Giant Dwarf.
Breed.
Tickets. Well, shut up, mate. Give me a break.
It's called the Yak Festival.
Yeah,
I don't even know what
Festival.
It is.
Mate, you
but
got
we're
tickets,
all into it.
Tickets on sale now.
Yeah,
Sam
go,
Simmons,
go to
Ada
it.
K show at Giant Dwarf.
Ada K show.
9th to 9th.
How good
to the
is that? So, yeah, just come
November.
To the ADK show. That's all
I'm
doing. I just read the phone book. All I'm doing.
I know, but that's in November, Sam.
Yeah, it's in November. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's September.
Yeah, because
what are you doing here?
I'm just talking to you. Obviously, I've come to Merrickville.
Promotion, Merrick.
So
I'm just promoting it early. I'm just here. I'm staying across the road. And I thought, if we're going to be really basic here, I'm literally staying across the road from the studio. And I thought, yeah, I should come in. And I like seeing you.
Yeah, it's great.
It's just
I
this
love
weird Merrickville place you've got going on.
Mate, it does everyone.
I don't understand what's going on in here.
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. A lot of things in my career have seemed like a good idea at the time.
Oh, you've had an illustrious career, though. I don't get
I've had a good time.
Now.
I've had a great time. It's not over.
It's not. No, it's just, not you like know? You're a dog being taken out to a paddock soon.
Oh, no, I am.
Oh, that's sad, though, isn't
no,
it? Do
I
they
am.
Still do that? Do they still take dogs out to paddocks?
Yeah, they take them to the farm. They say
or just drop them off out there.
No, they say I take them to the farm. My sister
and drop them off in the country and let them starve. That's kind of what they insinuate. No, that's.
Yeah.
Oh, they do. Is that Pavlov? Pavlov.
Pavlov?
No, not Pavlov. Pavlov. Parlo.
What? Who's Parlo?
Parvo. Parvo. Dogs get parvo.
What?
That is a thing. It's called parvo. And you take the dog up the back of the paddock.
Isn't
someone
that...
will text in right now and go, parvo's real.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Is that something you get on a pap smear?
Parvo's a dog. A virus dogs get.
There you go.
Yeah. Parvo?
There you go. And Pavlov was a dog that used to drool.
That's
so
right.
There you go. It's all a similar. And Matthew Pavlich.
Well, Pavlov wasn't the dog.
Had a very good leg.
Pavlov wasn't the
and
dog.
Pavlov is Australian.
It's like Frankenstein. Pavlov was the scientist. The dog's name was Butter or something like that.
Butter.
I don't know. I don't know what the dog's name was, but it was or
Butter.
Juno or something like that.
Hello.
Pavlov was the scientist. It was Pavlov's dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still part of the dog world.
It's
still in the dog's world.
It was Frankenstein's monster, not Frankenstein.
Well, what was Frankenstein's monster called?
He didn't give it a name. He never gave it a name.
Why don't you
and
name
it? It was never
we'll call him Butter.
You with the bolts in your neck. Yeah, my name's Butter. Can you call me Butter, please? Sam Simmons is with me. He's got some shows at Giant Dwarf in Redfern in November from the 9th. And
yeah, it's a long way away.
Is there a website? I'm looking for it on the page.
Where
do you
know.
Go to go and get tickets?
Just look it up. Just look it up.
Is it a good show?
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, what's it about?
It's about...
ADK?
Yeah, well, you've got to name the show 8 months in advance, and so it's not really about that. But I do have a phone book on stage.
And you just go through the phone book?
Yeah, pretty much.
What do you
just
do?
Get some weird names. Go, oh, that's a weird name. Oh, they don't sound like they belong
Pavlov.
Here.
Is Pavlov in there?
No, it's
only the K.
Go to giantdwarf.com.au for tickets.
Okay, all right. I did notice something on your social media, because I follow you on social media, and at first I thought it was a packet of donuts, like an empty shell, like when Americans buy a packet of donuts and it's got like a
reverse.
The actual literal reverse. What was it that you found on the street at George Street?
Just outside of my illustrious accommodation, I found just out the front of a sex shop. Not like I was going in the sex shop, but I just saw it there. Because I've been getting up really early, like 3 o'clock in the morning, because I'm jet lagged, walking around the CBD like a pensioner.
Oh, how good.
Like, how odd is that?
How good.
So at the front of a sex shop, I just saw, because like anything will catch my eye. Yeah. There's nothing going on. And I was like, oh, there's a little packet there. It's a little packet for a little finger vibrator, I think it's called.
Yeah, it costs $10. Finger.
And someone's obviously just bought it and then just like raced out of the shop like, I can't wait.
Do you think it was an emergency purchase or was it an impulse purchase?
I don't know what they were doing. It involves a donut box in there somewhere, though.
That's the box that it comes in. At first, I thought it was a box that contained donuts, and I was very interested. And then I saw what it was.
The finger that goes in the donut.
Twice as interesting. Exactly. Potentially.
Isn't that amazing, though? Just what was going in the thought process then?
Was it weird for you to stop down and take a photo?
Yeah, but it was like 3:30 in the morning, so no one could see me.
Oh, okay, so no one saw you taking a photo.
No, not at all.
Because it would have been amazing to take a photo of you taking a photo of a dildo wrapper. Oh, wouldn't that be just next level? It's me taking a photo of comedian Sam Simmons taking a photo of a dildo wrapper.
Okay. I haven't said the word dildo in a long time. It's a fun word, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did coach training today, and we're allowed to say that word. That's not an offensive word.
What about Lego dildo?
That's
can you say
amazing.
That? Because that's a brand, and you build your own.
Can you build one like that?
You probably could.
It'd
hurt. I
was going to say, you stand on those things, it kills. Imagine you
definitely
stand
wasn't allowed to say out of the ABC. No,
you stand on one of those with another part of your anatomy.
Oh, that's no good up there.
Oh,
Merrick, we have to go.
Oh, okay.
Do we?
We're out of time.
We are out of time. That was quick. What do we have to talk about? We didn't talk about any of the things that we're meant to talk about.
Sam's got a show. If you want tickets, go to giantdwarf.com.au. It's part of the Yak Festival. There's heaps of other big comedians performing at that.
That was great,
including
Sam.
Yourself.
Can you come back another time?
Yeah, I'd love to. I love it.
We've got to have a conversation at some stage.
I'm just across the road right now.
I can't now. I've got a trivia night.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for visiting Merrickville. And be a Merrickvillian. Merrickvillite.
Merrickvilleman.
Join us on Facebook or Twitter at Merrickville FM 104.9
Triple M.